Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast.
I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel.
Where you can master the art of enriching your life.
What kind of kindergarten shit is this?
And finding a path to financial freedom.
Who the fuck was supposed to teach me how to do my taxes?
So sit back, relax, and step into the Rich Room. You know I can't help but these, cause they know they can never touch these. So baby, let me talk my shit, or I might just throw another fit.
Dearest gentle readers, dearest listeners, welcome to the Rich Room Podcast. I am your host, Lady Whistledown. I'm just kidding, y'all. It's me, Lindsay Sobel. So I'm just going to address the elephant in the room. I have been unexpectedly out of commish for 2 weeks, meaning that you have been deprived of 2 episodes of the Rich Room. And for that, I appreciate your understanding. So I had a bit of an emotional breakdown, and there were events leading up to that breakdown that I'm just now starting to bounce back from. So it all started with, well, let me go farther back. Let's go back to when I first moved to my new house in Miami. It's been a really long time since I had a space to myself, like a really long time. When I was married, I compromised my space for the sake of the other person, and I didn't even know that I needed time alone to recharge until I didn't have it. The year was 2020. Okay, so I guess I'm taking y'all really far back. All right, when COVID hit, everyone had to work and go to school at home. It was a lot. It was a lot of time together. Suddenly, the 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom apartment shared between my boyfriend at the time, me, and my 14-year-old daughter became really fucking small. And we had 1 fucking bathroom. I would have never chosen that apartment if I knew we would all be there all at the same time. Before that time, I would have work days where I would work from home all by myself with no one else's energy to affect me. My partner was at work, worked at the office. My daughter was at school. I actually had some real alone time. And I'm a very sensitive person, and I can feel other people's energy around me, and it affects me, sometimes good, sometimes bad. What I never realized was that I needed those days by myself. I needed time where I didn't have anyone talking to me, where I could work in the natural light, in a controlled environment. I could turn the lights off if I wanted to. I did not know how valuable that time was, and I had no idea how much it contributed to regulating my nervous system. Cut to March 2020, and all that essential, crucial alone time was abruptly gone, and it had a really negative effect on me. If this is any indicator, March 2020 was the first time that I reached out to an actual psychiatrist. I had never done that before. After that, my partner worked from home and never went back to the office. And he worked in the living room of our tiny, tiny apartment and had to be on camera. So no matter what, I was always in someone else's space. I think there were even a few times where I crawled on the floor so I wouldn't have to be in the frame of his work camera. That began in 2020 and continued until we split last April. Then I moved into an Airbnb to transition out of the relationship and to also have somewhere to live while Madison finished out her senior year of high school. I was very grateful to have the Airbnb, but I also was not comfortable there. Like, 2 things can be true, right? I can still be very grateful for what I have, and I can still recognize that an environment, despite being very adequate, is not what I need to thrive. Okay, so there was another unit in the building of the Airbnb that I was staying at that was rented out almost every weekend, and we shared a paper-thin wall, I could hear people snoring. I could hear the TV. I could hear full-blown conversations. And if they were more juicy, I probably wouldn't be complaining as much, but I never heard anything good. Then I moved to my dad's house, which also very, very grateful for. But it wasn't my space. And it's not like I had lived there before and had a room set up and had stuff that was all mine that I could just settle back into. I knew that I needed a place of my own to heal. A place that was all mine. If I'm being completely honest, I didn't think that there was a space in the world where I actually belonged. I didn't feel like I belonged in Mississippi where I grew up. And I also very sadly didn't feel like I belonged in New Orleans where I spent the last 12 years building a life. I used to feel like I belonged in New Orleans, but that began to change as I grew and evolved. And I know that this is negative self-talk, but it's real. At the time, I felt like a fucking loser for not having anywhere to go or anywhere to call home. I also really had to mourn the loss of not pursuing a life in New Orleans. I never thought I would leave New Orleans, but last year when my relationship was ending, I no longer felt like New Orleans was the right place for me. And that made me really sad. But at the same time, I knew I couldn't stay. So my daughter was going to the University of Miami for her freshman year, and I was like, well, I guess I'll heal in Miami. I really had no other place in the world that I thought I could go. Even though I moved into my house in October, it still took me months to become comfortable in the space. For 3 years, I went without a space of my own. So when I finally got to my cute little house, I was still so uncomfortable. It's like I was conditioned to not have a space of my own, or conditioned to always be worrying about someone else. And those behaviors and feelings followed me, even though I actually had a space of my own. It was fucking weird. I had been conditioned for 3 years to always be compromising my behavior for someone else. And it really did feel weird to be alone. But boy, did I come to love it. I would say around January, I started feeling more comfortable in my house. And I felt like I really turned a corner in my healing. Even though I still have sad moments, I feel like the string of sadness and mourning the loss of the life I thought I was going to have started to taper off and not be as intense. I would say that I've been in survival mode for years. I thought that if I made everyone around me happy or did things for those around me, then I would be happy too. But that did not happen. And it left me wondering why I felt like I wasn't receiving what I was putting in. And it's real hard to implement boundaries into an existing environment. So my new home in Miami had become my safe haven. I have not felt like I had a safe haven for at least the last 3 years. And after I created my own safe haven, I was very, very cautious and weary of my space being compromised in the least fucking bit. Well, as the school year was ending, it became apparent that my daughter was going to move into my house for the summer. I made the arrangements for it and felt pretty good about it. Moved my daughter out of her dorm and into my house. So my house is pretty small and it's already furnished. And even though there is a second bedroom, it was set up as an office. And it was actually my sewing room. It didn't even have a bed. So I had to rearrange that room and also rent a bed so Madison had somewhere to sleep. Well, she has a lot of shit and a lot of boxes, and those are all in my room. Now, my room is a nice-sized room, but now a large portion of it is taken up by boxes or furniture I had to move to make room for Madison to move in. So now my cozy house for one turned into a cramped space for two. All the while, The change in environment was affecting my mood and my emotional state. Then there was a little family drama. I'm not going to really get into it. I mean, okay. All right, I'll tell y'all a little bit. So, I go to New Orleans for a trip. It was all in all a nice trip. I came back fulfilled and satisfied that I got to see almost all my people. Madison then goes on her trip to New Orleans and Mississippi to see her people. There's some drama that goes down, and my mom vents to me about Madison. Totally understandable, but I learned that I cannot take my mom hat off. So while my mom is venting about my child, I'm getting more and more upset. But I just let it ride and I tried to move on. Then my mom was bringing my dog Sadie to see me. And I'm going to be completely honest with y'all. I love my dog Sadie, but I was not ready to add another responsibility to my plate. I didn't really want another creature in my space who needed caring for because I feel like I need a lot of care and I'm working on trying to give that to myself. But Sadie had been attacked by another dog, so I was like, okay, I guess this is time I kind of have to do this. So my mom was a gem and offered to bring Sadie to me in Miami. Arrangements were made, flight and rental car were secured, and then my mom tells me the day before she's going to arrive that she wants to bring my uncle to come with her and that they're both going to stay at my house. Okay, a few things. First off, one day notice in a non-emergency situation is not reasonable. Second, I felt like I was being asked to compromise again and not for a compelling reason. So I said, no, it won't work this time. My house is very small, and it's even smaller now that Madison has all of her stuff everywhere. We are also introducing a new dog into the environment. I have no idea how the cat will react. And sorry, Uncle, love you, but I cannot add one more thing to my plate. Nor should I have to. I feel very, very protective of my space, and it's not reasonable to give a one day's notice and spring a surprise visit on me. I wish I was healed more to be okay with that, but I'm not. I also think it's just rude not to give a heads up, but that's just my personal opinion. I also think that I might be sensitive to overcompromising, and in that moment, I felt like I was starting to compromise my own feelings for others, a feeling that I was all too familiar with, but was working very hard through therapy to break that pattern. So I said no, and it caused a really big fight between me and my mom. Really big. There were talks of her not coming. I felt upset. I felt abandoned. I also felt like I was making the right decision for myself, but it doesn't feel good to have that decision repeatedly challenged. I think I was even called selfish, and I said, it's about damn time that I made a selfish decision. I don't know if that where landed. I don't really remember. Setting and enforcing boundaries does not feel fun, but again, I checked in with myself and I was unwavering on how I felt. I did not want to keep compromising when I already felt like I wasn't really in a stable place. I'm fragile, y'all. I know I put off a strong energy and that is true, but I am sensitive as fuck. Not in the sense that I get easily offended, but I feel so fucking deeply. Like, it hurts. Okay, mom ended up coming to Miami, brought Sadie. Oh, and let me just say, I am so happy that Sadie is here. There was a brief settling in period, but now that she's back on a regimen, she is really thriving. And she is such a good fucking snuggler. The other day, me, Madison, and Sadie all took a nap on the couch. It was like really a full circle moment because we haven't all lived together in a while. It felt complete. Also, the cat and the dog are getting along better than they ever have before. It's quite relieving. But there was a settling in period where the cat was hiding somewhere in the house. I felt so bad that I had messed up her environment. I ended up making a little fort in my room out of Madison's moving boxes, and I made a little area that Lydia could get to, but the dog could not. Man, and I brought that bitch 3 meals a day. I would say that that lasted maybe a week. And I was just generally concerned and worried about both of their well-being. So, mom is in town for 2 days. We basically have therapy the whole time, which was good. She goes back to New Orleans. Madison is still in New Orleans. Something else happens and my mom gets upset with Madison again and vents to me. I do my best to be there for her, but the venting starts to stir up more and more anger in me. I want to fix the problem, and I'm upset about the situation too. And again, I felt like I couldn't take my mom hat off and solely be the sounding board for my mom. So we hang up and I'm like so upset. I couldn't do anything. I was already a week behind in the podcast after the dog coming here and fighting with my mom, so I was feeling the pressure and knew I needed to prepare the outline for my podcast, which usually comes very easily to me. I mean, this is episode 39. I've been doing this for 39 weeks. It would be episode 41 if I had been on time, but I mean, who fucking cares? Well, apparently I did, because the thought of missing 2 episodes felt like the world fucking ending, and so I kept trying to force myself to write. But I was so upset about all of the stuff with my mom and Madison, and felt so exhausted of all the conflict that I was fucking blocked. I couldn't write. I couldn't come up with anything. And I had plenty of shit to say. My idea text message chain was replete with little golden nuggets. I don't know if I've said this before, but do yourself a favor and start a message chain with yourself. My biggest issue when I started doing the podcast was writing down and recording all of my ideas in one place. I would have the funniest ideas come to me when I was walking or driving or in the shower, and I would say to myself, oh my gosh, that is so fucking funny. I am a damn comedic genius. I'm going to write about that later. And then later would come around and I would totally forget. The idea would just go away. The game changed when I started a text message chain with myself. It's the easiest and most contemporaneous method I've found to capture my ideas in the moment. Even when I'm driving, I can use CarPlay to send a text message to myself with the idea. Listen, if you have a way that you record your ideas and want to share, email me at therichroompodcast@gmail.com. I am always open to improving my process. Even though I had ideas to work with, I still couldn't write. And I sort of panicked. It felt very similar to writing a legal brief that I had no idea how to start. But my emotional state was not good. Then, my daughter Madison got home from her trip, which added another element to the environment. I was on edge, let's just say that. Still unable to write and really having a rough time getting my shit together. So another part to this story that was the real kicker into my emotional breakdown was that I had previously agreed to allow my daughter to have her friends stay with her at our house while I was in Vegas. I have a tendency to agree to things that I don't want to agree to in order to make Madison happy. I also didn't realize the emotional state I was going to be in upon their arrival. They also were supposed to arrive after I left and leave before I got home, so to me it's like they weren't going to really be there. But then her friends asked to come 2 days earlier, like a few weeks back, and I acquiesced. So, my mom leaves Miami on a Thursday, Madison comes home on a Sunday evening, her friends arrive on a Tuesday. Monday was the day of the peak emotional breakdown. Monday was D-Day. Wait, okay, that was June 3rd. Oh, you know what? There was a planetary alignment. Whoa. Wait. Okay, I have to look this up. Okay, let's see. Okay. How does planetary alignment affect me June 3rd, 2024? Okay. Here is an article from People, so you know it's reliable. Okay, let's just scroll down to my sign, Sagittarius. Oh my gosh, y'all. Y'all are not going to believe this. Okay, it says, does your home life feel upside down right now, Sagittarius? Yeah. During this period, you may be feeling like you don't have a clear foundation in order to achieve stability. With that in mind, it's pivotal for you to find structure in your daily routine and set a schedule to get you back on the right track. Bro, how the fuck? Okay, how in the world can y'all say this isn't real? Okay, so it looks like I hit my peak emotional breakdown state during the planetary alignment. Wow, I am in tune. Okay, so when I say breakdown, I mean screaming and crying for hours. Actually, it started on Sunday night and then bled into Monday and was at its worst on Monday. Okay, so I'm not proud of this, but I want to be honest with y'all. So I was screaming and crying and just felt like I had so much anger and rage inside of me. I didn't want to hit or break anything. Well, that's not actually not true. I did. All I wanted to do was be Beyonce in Lemonade in the Hold Up video where she's swinging a baseball bat and crushing everything in fucking sight. Side note, me and my mom watched the Lemonade film while she was in town and it was amazing. Such a fun experience to share with my mom. Next stop, a Beyonce concert. So yeah, I wanted to break shit, but I didn't. Thank goodness. I have something in me that stops me from doing that. But I was stomping my feet, screaming, crying, sweating. I was so hot, I couldn't catch my breath. It was awful. But it wasn't anything new. This is exactly how the panic attacks I used to have looked like. And the last time that I experienced an episode like this was when I was still physically living with my ex. I felt the same now as I did then. It felt like my space had been compromised a lot in the past few weeks, and here were two more people coming into the mix, and I was not able to handle it. At first, I was like, they can't come. I'm sorry. I can't handle it. I shouldn't have to feel like this in my house. I came around, though, because flights had been booked, arrangements were made, and we did end up getting them an Airbnb for two nights until I left for my Vegas trip with my siblings. After I left, the plan was for them to come stay at the house with Madison. I was also very concerned that I hadn't gotten my podcast done, but there was no way I could have under the circumstances. So I accepted it. I said, I will figure it out. My listeners will be fine. They will understand. So I go to Vegas, which was nice. I hung out with my brother and sister, saw the Beatles Love Show before it closes, had some amazing food, went to the pool, had a very relaxing massage. I was looking forward to coming back home, though. Vegas was great, but I was very tired. I did not handle the three-hour time difference well, and if I'm being honest, I'm still trying to get back on a normal sleep schedule. So I get back from Vegas on Monday night. That was June 10th. I'm excited to get home and get back on a normal sleep schedule. Y'all know how I feel about my sleep. I prioritize sleep over almost everything. Well, when I got home from Vegas, after Madison and her friends had stayed at my house for 5 days, the AC did not work. And the toilet lines were clogged. I don't know what it was, but I felt very fatigued of being angry. I didn't want to be angry anymore. And I literally said to myself, you have a choice in how you react to all of this. Although there was a reaction to the circumstance, I did not lose my cool. I did not cry. I did not scream. I did not break anything. But that's not you. That's not my MO. And really, I think I deserve some sort of award or financial compensation or a forehead kiss or something, because it ain't real fun to go with no air conditioning in Miami in the middle of June. Thankfully, the AC was fixed rather quickly. The plumbing, on the other hand, took 4 days to fix. We fasted and utilized the public library when necessary, but it wasn't fun. And you know, there were so many other weird things that kept happening to me this week, and it felt like the universe was going to keep on testing me and keep poking me to see if I was going to lose my shit or not. For instance, the dog shit in the house, right there on the living room floor. Thank goodness it's wood. Yeah, she's afraid of thunderstorms and refuses to go outside when it's raining. Well, I don't know if y'all saw the news, but Miami got a fuck ton of rain, which is why the plumber couldn't come out for 4 days. So poor Sadie had been out a little bit when the rain let up a few times, but it was coming down a lot and my girl had to go. And so she let it go right in front of me and Madison. I still kept my cool and I did not lose my shit. A classic Murphy's Law thing that happens when shit's going wrong is when you walk by a door handle or a drawer handle and it catches on a part of your clothing and yanks you back into next week. Ooh, the universe really tried with that one, but she still didn't get me. Didn't lose my shit. I also missed an important meeting for my business, which is so not like me. I had a sample come in, and there was a virtual fitting scheduled with a model and everything. See, it was originally scheduled for this upcoming Monday, but then it got changed last minute and I forgot to make the change on my calendar. And I still did not lose my cool when I realized that I missed it. That one was shocking to me. Another thing happened. I also applied to be on a guest on this podcast or one of the business groups that I'm in. I thought to myself, I will for sure get it. I'm interesting as fuck, and I have a story. And I'm a hoot and a half. When I was waiting to find out the news, though, I told myself that if I didn't get it, then it was not meant for me. And that I might have an even bigger opportunity down the line available in the future. Well, I applied, and I didn't get it. But truly, I did not feel disappointed. I felt fine. And I told myself that this wasn't meant for me. So it's okay that I didn't get it. Gosh, dang it. I am regulating my emotional ass off. You know, thinking about it, the emotional regulation whirlwind started on the plane to Vegas when I realized that I left the specifically curated outfits that I had planned to wear on this Vegas trip that I had curated over the course of weeks. Left those outfits hanging up in my closet and not in my suitcase on the plane to Vegas. One of my favorite outfits was this black, like lightly sheened suit with like silver looking fringe on the side of the jacket and on the side of the pants. It's gorgeous and such a fucking number and so appropriate for Vegas. Thank God I'm going back. But yes, I realize this as I'm trying to go to sleep in economy, fighting for my damn life. Once I realized it, I was like, no fucking way. I cannot believe I left my clothes hanging up in my closet. What a rookie move. I got upset for like 5 seconds. And then I got reasonable. I had a little talk with myself and I was like, okay, it will be fine. You have enough outfits. This is happening for you, not to you. You're going back to Vegas in 2 weeks, so you will be able to wear the outfits. Let's just make the best of it. And I did. And all of my outfits were cute. I even wore the same outfit 2 nights in a row. No fucking shame. So, in conclusion, I have had a lot of shit going on, which is why my body made me take a break, not only from the podcast, but from everything. Fear not, though, because I am back, baby. So, remember me telling y'all about my stranger dinner? Well, I went to one and had the best fucking time. It was kind of funny because I told y'all that I had to fill out a questionnaire so they can put you with the right people and at the restaurants that fit your preferences. I generally had no preferences on what restaurant was selected, but when asked about my dietary preferences, I did put down vegetarian. So I'm not really vegetarian. I will eat meat. I'm just selective about it. Also, my body does not digest meat very well, and I have a tendency to get a little tummy ache. And a stranger dinner is not where you want to have a tummy ache, am I right? So, I selected vegetarian preference, which meant the restaurant selected would have vegetarian options. Which is not very uncommon in Miami because there is a lot of different food preferences. So I didn't think that was a big deal. So you don't find out which restaurant you're going to until the morning of the dinner. The morning of the dinner, I woke up, went for a nice little walk, got back home, showered, made myself some mushroom coffee, and started organizing my day. Then, around 8:40 a.m., I got an email that my restaurant location had been selected. I go to check my app, and I see that it says Graziano's. I've seen that restaurant around. It's not too far away from where I live. So my ass goes to their website to see what the menu is like, and much to my surprise, the restaurant is a fucking steakhouse. There's literally a picture of a cow on the front of the dinner menu. Not what I had in mind, but I'm honestly game for anything. And the menu does have non-meat options. It's not like I don't enjoy eating meat. I do. I just find that I get sick afterwards if I eat a lot, and I just don't like that. I don't like dealing with it. So I usually get my meat fixed by getting a bite of someone else's steak. Usually my daughter, because she loves steak. And if she's gonna get a steak, it's gonna be rare. Oof, that is the best kind. So flavorful, so juicy. So I just get one bite and I'm satisfied. In fact, I like to get a bite of everyone's food. I have been called by my friends and family the one bite bandit for years. But I wasn't about to try that shit at a stranger dinner. Hey, partner, mind if I get a bite? They call me the one bite bandit. It's kind of like paying a toll. I'll leave you alone if you give me a bite. Man, I'm kind of hungry now. So the stranger dinner ended up being such a great fucking time. There was one man from Qatar, one man from France, one woman from Puerto Rico, one woman from Brazil, one woman from Ukraine, and then me from America. America. The conversation was lively. It never got boring. And the app gave us questions to keep the conversation going. The dinner was so lovely. So I didn't realize this, but after the dinner, the app sends everyone a little message that says, okay, now everyone can have a nightcap at the bar and we will release the name of the bar at like 9 p.m. And then your group decides if anyone wants to go to the bar. Apparently, the same message is sent to everyone who participates in a stranger dinner across the city. So everyone goes to the same bar, essentially. I am very proud of myself because I went to the bar after dinner, even though it was past my bedtime, and your girl stayed out until 1 a.m. I am wild. The bar wasn't crowded, though. Like, there were barely any people there. I think it had to do with the rain, though. It rained really, really bad all throughout dinner, so I think the rain was a major deterrent. Also, it's a Wednesday, so people have work the next day. I mean, not me, but people, you know? I met some great people that I'm going to keep in touch with, and I'm going to do another dinner soon. I'm signed up for next week, but I'm going to Vegas the very next day, so it may not be the best idea to go out the night before. You know what? I've convinced myself I'm going to push it to the next Wednesday. I don't need the extra stress. And yes, you heard me right. I did say that I'm going to Vegas again. So this trip was planned. The other trip was more of a lanyap. If you don't know what that is, it means extra. So this upcoming Vegas trip, I planned with my friend Natalie and her husband Aaron. It's his birthday and we're going to see Dead & Company at the Sphere for 3 nights. It's gonna be a good time. I upgraded my airplane seat to one with more room, so hopefully I will have a better chance of sleeping on the plane, which will assist in adjusting to the 3-hour time difference. I could talk all day about airplane seats and how it's actually inhumane, the seats in economy, but I'm not even going to get into it because I don't want to be pissed. We got more important shit to cover. All right. So I recently realized that I haven't given a rich bitch tip lately, and I haven't finished my rich AF journey. Do not worry, I'm going to finish. I have been very candid and transparent that finances are a major pain point for me. I've always been in a position where I have my bills paid, and that's all that I really cared about. And unless something was on fire, I wasn't really looking at my finances. It's like I was giving myself the illusion that all was fine on the financial front, but I don't want to just get by from a financial standpoint. I want to excel, and there is no way I can excel without having a complete picture of what is going on with my spending. Now, I'm going to pick back up with our rich AF journey, but I wanted to share something that I found during my spending audit that really fucking shocked me. For months now, I've been seeing these small, random-ass charges from Amazon Prime every month. Something like $2 or $3 every month. I want to say it was December that I disputed the charge with my credit card company. I was confused because I already paid $130 annually for an Amazon Prime subscription, which gets billed every June. At first, I thought it was my daughter using my credit card for her Amazon Prime account and that these small charges were actually video rentals. Well, Madison confirmed that she had not rented any videos, so that was a dead end. Then I thought, it might be people trying to see if I noticed these small charges, preparing for an even bigger charge later on. So I decided to dispute the small charges with Chase. Well then, a few days later, I got an email from Amazon telling me that my Amazon Prime account had been canceled. I was so confused. And we obviously can't be having that. Amazon is one of my most utilized applications, especially now that I live in Miami and same-day delivery is the norm. Same-day delivery feels like magic, especially when you have Prime and don't have to pay for delivery. So I went to my Amazon account and resubscribed to Prime. I tried looking on my Amazon account to figure out where these small ash charges were coming from. It was kind of driving me nuts that I couldn't figure it out. Since I wasn't getting anywhere and I definitely needed Amazon Prime and the charges were small, I just let it ride. I told myself that I would figure it out later. Well, months went by. And then I did my spending audit, which I think I told y'all was very, very, very hard for me to do. I literally was hyping myself up, telling myself that I would feel much happier once I completed it. And that I was confronting a major pain point in my life, and that is a good thing. But man, was it hard to force myself to sit down at my desk and comb through my spending choices with my neon highlighters in tow. The mental block and the avoidance and the anxiety that I felt towards that spending audit was nothing else I've felt in a long time. But hot damn, did your girl get through the spending on it and even wrote down all the subscriptions that I was being charged for that I didn't really use anymore. My spending audit was very revealing. This comes as no surprise to me, but at the same time, it was shocking. Food delivery from restaurants is my biggest expenditure. Not grocery delivery, food delivery. But as far as subscriptions go, those pesky small Amazon charges were staring at me from my credit card statement. I thought to myself, this is bullshit that I'm being charged for something every month and I cannot figure out what it is. So what did I do? Took my ass to Reddit. Reddit rarely fails me, and it certainly didn't fail me in this instance. So I found out how to check all my Amazon transactions and learned that this $3 monthly charge was part of my Amazon Prime subscription. And that monthly $3 was a charge for ad-free Amazon Prime, meaning that even though I had already paid a lot for Amazon Prime, which included Prime Video, I was now being charged $3 per month so I didn't have to see ads in the videos I was watching. I do not recall agreeing to this charge. It just started popping up. Well, I went and changed that shit, and now anytime I watch Prime Video, I guess there will be ads, but who fucking cares? I found out something else as well. Not only is this a very deceitful business practice exhibited by Amazon, but another major greedy-ass corporation is doing the same damn thing. A little bitch-ass company called HBO. As if I needed another reason to despise HBO. Me and HBO go way back. I think the first HBO show I saw was Sex and the City. Then maybe it was Girls, which had fucking promise but ended up being a real bummer. I want to say Game of Thrones was next. Game of Thrones took the world by storm. Everyone was watching it. I wish I would have just skipped the last season, though. It ended terribly. HBO disappoints again. You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm pretty sure Sex and the City had a terrible ending too. You know, I have never walked out of a movie in my life at the theater. Even the bad movies, I will stay until the end because I'm such a fucking people pleaser and I feel bad for the people who made the film. But I walked out of Sex and the City 2, the movie. It was fucking horrible. I bet HBO had something to do with that too. I have spoken at length on my disdain for HBO. Y'all know, they canceled the show that had the potential to be one of the greatest shows ever, Winning Time. First, HBO gave it a shit name, and then they canceled it after one amazing season and a half-assed second season. HBO also canceled Insecure and Rap Shit. Once I discovered that HBO also adds in an ad-free fee without really being transparent about it, I decided that it was time to part ways with HBO. See, on your credit card statement, it doesn't have these individual charges. The charges are built into the price, but if you go onto your account, you see you're being charged an extra $2 for ad-free. I thought the whole point of having a premium subscription was that it was assumed that it was ad-free. And then it would only be with ads if it was free and didn't cost anything. Isn't that how ads work? Once I discovered this, I decided it was time to part ways with HBO. The only reason I was keeping HBO was to watch the new season of Trixie Mattel, but I decided that I will just have to figure something else out because I can't keep doing this with HBO. Not to mention all the streaming platforms circulate their content to different other platforms so that people will have to keep switching. The audacity of HBO and Amazon to have these hidden fees in this economy? The greed. I can't take it. No, not on my watch. So HBO and the Amazon with the ads has been canceled. I've totally parted ways with HBO. And now, they're trying to get me to come back for $9.99 a month. These prices are fake and made up. I can't stand the corporate greed. So HBO and Amazon have been canceled. Not like in life, just by me. You know what? Now that my wheels are turning, I think this hidden fee shit is actionable. I mean, not that my ass is going to do anything about it, but it feels like a deceitful business practice. You know, even though I'm a lawyer, I am not litigious. Like, I don't think I would sue unless it was for something that had a major impact on my life. Like these charges, these $3 charges. Just kidding. This should come as no surprise, but HBO and Amazon have declined my request for a brand deal. I can understand why. So that was my rich bitch tip of the week. Check your statements, because these businesses are taking advantage of you, even though you're already paying a premium price. Okay, let's get into the Vanderpump Rules reunion. Lala is wild. She continues to act like she should get special treatment because she has a child. Like, she was asked point blank why she had an issue with Ariana's boundaries of not interacting with her ex when Lala actually instructed people not to hang out with her ex or she would cut them out of her life. Lala responded that it's different because Lala was in a custody battle, so it was more serious and she should be treating differently. No. I have literally been in the same kind of custody situation over my baby, and it did not warrant special treatment or give me a right to judge other people who don't have children. What we are seeing from Lala is queen baby energy, similar to Kyle Cook's king baby energy. Lala thinks that her role as a mother allows her to play by different rules or have more outbursts because her life is apparently so much harder than everyone else's. No, it's not. Everyone suffers. As my therapist would say, this isn't the suffering Olympics. I love Lala, but I think it was the wrong play to continue to talk about the show as their livelihood and their job. Also, I am very pleased to hear that Lala and Sheena will not be joining the Valley cast, because the Valley is good as it is. Speaking of the Valley, the season finale aired, and we have been informed by Bravo that we are not going to get a reunion, which I guess we just have to deal with. Jax and Brittany opened their bar, Jax's Studio City, and there was a soft opening party that everyone attended. The name of the bar is the only contribution that Jax made. He literally did the bare minimum. I'm talking 0.01% worth of effort. He cleaned the same damn little sign forever and refused to help with the real work. The driving force and the primary reason that that bar was completed for the soft opening party was because of his wife, Brittany. The finale was good because it was the first time that everyone had been in the same room since the racist Republican debacle. Zach and Janet got in an argument. Zach was a little lit up and screamed to Janet, "Get the fuck out of here." My lady loins were so activated when Jason bowed up to Zach saying, "You can't talk to my wife like that. Dude, I will wreck you." Swoon. It is so refreshing to see a man stick up for his partner. Jason gives me hope in men. It's like, seriously. I am sort of ready for Janet to not be pregnant, though, because it does seem like people are being softer with her and not holding her accountable because she's pregnant. I get it. Stress is not good for the mom or the baby. But Janet continues to be hella messy and then be like, "Oh, but the baby and the stress." So I'm kind of ready to see this hoe untethered. All right, so we learned that Jax and Brittany have split, and it looks like they're going to get divorced. I wonder how they are going to deal with Jax's Studio City. Jax made it a point to involve his wife, and his wife actually got shit done. And now they are splitting. And although the bar has his name, Brittany actually made that shit happen. So we find out that cameras picked back up 6 months later to reveal that Jax and Brittany and Jesse and Michelle are getting divorced. You know, I'm not going to get into it now, but that's how you end a relationship. Off camera. Both couples ended their relationships off camera despite having major problems the entire season, not unlike the relationship between Carl and Lindsay on Summer House. Jesse said that Michelle ended things with him 3 days after cameras went down, and the cameras didn't pick back up for 6 months later. So this message goes out to Carl. You could have done it a bit differently. I'm not going to get into it. Maybe in the next episode. It's kind of sad that Jax and Brittany are splitting after being together for so long and we saw them go through so much together. Jax, my only advice to you is to go to therapy. I'm trying to be more constructive instead of pointing out how emotionally unevolved these grown-ass men are. What I'm wondering is how they are going to split the business, or are they going to continue to work together? Who fucking knows? And is this all going to be covered in season two? I'm thinking that's a yeah. Whew, hallelujah, y'all. That is it for episode motherfucking 39. This is me bouncing back. So be sure to follow me on social media at Lindsay_Sobel and also follow at The Rich Room Podcast. Bye, rich bitches.